Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes, but every day, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word. Now, since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, being in God's Word every day, even for this short period of time, that's vital to the strength and strengthening of our faith. We also encourage you to help other people grow in their faith by sharing these studies through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may help somebody turn their life around and maybe even get to heaven. What a great blessing for them, but it's also a great blessing for you. So make that commitment and start sharing today with everybody you can. We're coming toward the end of our study talking about the realities of death, or at least some realities of death, and I think these are major ones. Now, we've talked about to this point the fact that we're going to die. That's the number one reality. Unless the Lord comes again, we all will die physically. We may be able through good health and healthy eating and good vigorous exercise, we may be able to extend our lives physically to over 100 years, maybe even 110 years, but at some point, we're going to die physically. That's the first reality of death. Now, the second reality of death is, as we read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. And so, after our physical death, that's not going to be the end. Some people, they're hoping for just annihilation, that we're just going to cease to exist. We're going to be like the proverbial rover. We're going to be dead all over, you know, and nothing else is going, from our personal perspective, our personal being, there's going to be nothing. And so there'll be no answering for the way we will have lived our lives on this earth. But that's not the case, because God created us in His image with a soul, Genesis 1 and verse 26. And so we will all stand before the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after this physical life is over, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. The third reality is that there is something waiting for us after physical life, after physical death, and that's eternity. We're not talking about just a vast nothingness, emptiness, some big void. We're talking about either heaven or hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it." And he's talking about eternal life in heaven. And then by contrast, he said, "Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction," and that's he's talking about eternal condemnation in hell, "and many there be that are going down that path." And doing some paraphrasing there. So he said most people are living their lives physically on this world down a pathway that's going to lead them to eternal condemnation and destruction in hell. Now, by destruction, we're not talking about, again, annihilation, and we'll get into that in a few moments. But only the minority, and it sounds like from the usage of his language there, the smaller minority are going to end up in heaven because they're walking the pathway of righteousness, godliness, God's truth, and truth is narrow. Well, since that's the reality, how ought we to be focused in the way we're living our lives right now? Because again, first, death is a reality. Second, the judgment is a reality. We're going to face our Lord before his judgment seat in that day. There'll be no opting out of that. And then third, eternity. What's waiting for us? Either heaven or hell. Now, we've talked about heaven already. What about hell? Some people don't like to think about hell. They don't want to believe in hell because they realize that if there truly is a place called hell, a place of eternal condemnation, of eternal punishment based upon how we lived our lives in this world, then they've got to change their life. They can't go on doing the things that are obviously sinful, obviously in disobedience to God's word, and so they don't want to have to think about that, so they want to just erase the reality of hell from their mind. But just as driving down a highway and coming to a sign that says, stop, detour, bridge out ahead, and somebody says, well, I don't believe that, and they just go on, well, they go over the precipice there and to their destruction. You can not believe something that is real, but that's not going to change it from being real. Hell is just as real a place in eternity as is heaven, and they are both real. Now, what do the scriptures say about hell? I want us to read some verses of scripture, and I want us to do that in a rather, you know, brief fashion. But let's think about what Mark wrote in his gospel account in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21. Mark 3 and verse 21. What did he write there? I'm sorry, Mark 3 and verse 29. We read, Jesus speaking, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Now, he's talking about the reality of eternal condemnation in hell. Now, he's talking about a particular sin there, but he is bringing out the reality of a place, an eternal place of condemnation that is referred to in the scriptures as hell. When we look a little further in Mark's gospel account to chapter 9, we pick up with verse 44. And here, Jesus is speaking again, and he's talking about this reality of eternal condemnation in this place called hell. I want to go back to verse 43. Now, he's using some illustrative language here. He's not talking about, before we ever read the text, he's not talking about literal self-mutilation. He's simply talking about if there is something in your life that is keeping you away from faithfulness and dedication and obedience to God through his teachings, you need to give that up, because it'd be better to give that up than to end up in hell. So, verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life, that is eternal life in heaven, maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. And that word is from the Greek Gehenna, and it is talking about the place of eternal condemnation, eternal punishment. Then to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And there is the, again, illustrative language for we're talking about eternal condemnation, eternal punishment. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame, rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So we're talking from Mark's account there, and this is Jesus speaking in all of these cases that we've just read. We're talking about a place of eternal, never-ending destruction, punishment, agony, the consequence of living in sin here on this earth and not repenting of it and seeking God's forgiveness as by being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. We go to Matthew's account, and we see the word everlasting there. And again, everlasting is the same as eternal. They're just synonyms for one another, with no end, in other words. We can compare it to Romans 6 and verse 23, where the Apostle Paul wrote, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, without end. So we go back to Matthew chapter 18, we're going to begin with. Matthew 18, verse 8, Jesus speaking again, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Talking about eternal condemnation in hell again. Everlasting fire. Now, if you were annihilated, if you no longer had any existence, any senses at all, what would be the problem with everlasting fire? You wouldn't feel it at all. You wouldn't have any response to it. It wouldn't have any effect upon you. Obviously, we're talking about suffering, punishment, discipline, if you would, in that everlasting fire. Well, I want us to move now to the 13th chapter of Matthew, and let's read let me go to chapter 25, Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then we'll come back after a bit to the 13th chapter. Matthew 25, verse 41. And here Jesus speaking again. Then he will also say to those in the left hand, and here is a portrait of judgment, eternal judgment. He will say to those in his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, it's not just going to be the devil who's going to be in that eternal place called hell and in the suffering from the everlasting fire. It's going to be those who are consigned there at judgment because of their unrepentant sinfulness while living this physical life in this world. Verse 46, Jesus still speaking, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. But, and here's the contrast, but the righteous into eternal life. Do you see the difference and the separation between the two? The righteous into eternal life in heaven, the disobedient, the unrighteous into everlasting punishment in hell. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and last time we read from verses 7 and 8 all the way through verse 9, and again, this is a portrait of the final day of judgment when the Lord comes again to call all mankind to account, and it talks about him when the Lord Jesus shall come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction. Not ever getting to the point of being totally destroyed again, which a lot of people would hope for. They'd say, well, you know, it'll just be all over then. No, we're not talking about just being all over. We're talking about a destruction, a punishment, a suffering that goes on forever and ever. Jude 1 and verse 6, and Jude writes this, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he, that is God, has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Over and over again, we see that this place called hell in the scriptures, and we see Jesus refer to it many times, it's without end. It is eternal. On and on and on. I want to go back to Matthew's gospel account and go back to chapter 8 to begin with. Matthew chapter 8, and I want us to look at verse 12. Matthew 8 and verse 12. And hear Jesus speaking again. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see, it is going to be experienced. We're not talking about no more feeling, no more sensing, no more reality. We're talking about there's going to be feeling. There's going to be suffering, punishment. Chapter 13, verse 42. And here again, Jesus speaking. We'll cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, we're talking about real, felt judgment, punishment. Verse 50, and Jesus speaking again, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then we come to chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, And again, a portrait of that final judgment and that final pronouncement as to either heaven or hell for your eternal reality. And here in verse 25, chapter 25, verse 30, again, Jesus speaking, he says, "Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then when we look in Luke chapter 13 and verse 28, in Luke's account, gospel account, we read this, again, Jesus speaking, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Again, a portrait of judgment and eternity. Now, we're talking about realities of death here. Just as heaven is a reality, so is hell. We need to understand that. And both are real and both are everlasting. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand the magnitude of what we are talking about and what you have had written down for us as to eternal life with you in heaven or eternal condemnation from you, cut off from you, and your glory and power in hell. Please help people to see and to turn to you for that life, Father, through Jesus Christ. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.